This is Jay Sekulow, the American Humanist Association, going after that war memorial in Maryland and also going after a roadside memorial in California.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
For nearly 90 years, the concrete and stone Peace Cross has stood at a busy crossroads in Bladensburg, Maryland. On a plaque at its base are inscribed the names of the 49 men from Prince George's County who lost their lives in service to their country in what was then known as the Great War.
Well, I know if I lived in that town and my two daughters saw that and said, why is it that government supports Christianity? We're not Christians, right? You know, there's something inherently wrong with that. It sends the signal that not all of us are equal Americans.
To me, it's like a slap in the face to veterans. And, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't have a right to protest to start with anyway.
It's not a religious symbol. It's a memorial to the veterans that served.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
A grieving mother in Lake Elsinore is being forced to take down a cross that was part of a tribute to her late son. It was a source of comfort for an entire community, but an atheist group wants it gone. The cross was a source of controversy because it's on government land. An atheist group says it's inappropriate.
This is the woman who spearheaded the effort to take down the crosses. She doesn't want us to identify her for safety reasons.
And I'm afraid that when people's emotions take the best of them, they don't always rationally behave, and I'm a target.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We've got a lot to talk about. Of course, the Cross Memorial controversy in Brandenburg, Maryland. Jordan's going to be out there later today, and we're going to go ahead and get some video up on that. Jordan's going to do a piece from there. Same group went after a roadside memorial in California and another memorial that's called Freedom is Never Free, which has on it a soldier who's kneeling. There's a cross, there's a Star of David, and what looks like either a symbol, it could be an Islamic symbol or a Buddhist symbol, so it's multi-faith in its context. They objected to that as well. And we just found out through emails, you ready for this? Remember the controversy during the so-called government shutdown when they blocked World War II memorials off? They knew, the Interior Department knew, Jordan, that two veterans groups were on their way there and decided to close it down anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got a situation where it seems like these memorials are just under attack, and you've got either the government or these organizations which pressure the government and oftentimes find sympathy within the government. So you've got the bureaucrats on the side of these organizations who say, you know what, this shouldn't go up. They are not just going after the cross that we'll be visiting later this afternoon here right outside Washington, D.C., which again, folks, is not something that's ever caused any controversy for anyone I've ever heard from in Washington. I have not seen in the newspapers before this lawsuit has been threatened. And I haven't seen any information about it. It's not a place people go to visit. It's not a place tourists go. It's outside the city about 30 minutes. It's a World War I memorial for a local community, yep, for those who lost their lives. It's not a national memorial, something like that. And again, there's so many references to God and religion right here in Washington. Why don't they start with their lawsuits there? But instead, they pick on small towns.
Well, that's because the idea is they're going to intimidate the small towns. By the way, in California, they did just that. And those memorials did not go up. We're taking your calls. Why is the cross under attack? And why the war memorials under attack? And why did our government, knowing that the Department of Interior, knowing that two groups of World War II veterans were going to be there the day that they did the shutdown, knowing that the area was generally open and that it would be more of a, quote, even according to their own emails, more work to close it than just to leave it open, why did they do that anyways? What is the motive here? We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Yesterday I said, let's make sure we have more people signing this committee that'll file this brief on this war memorial case than actually are members of the American Humanist Association. And in 24 hours, 36,006 of you signed on to this committee. 36,006. You can do so today as well at ACLJ.org. Or stand for freedom and call us at 1-877-989-2255. It's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
For nearly 90 years, a memorial has stood in Bladensburg, Maryland, to honor the 49 men from that area who gave their lives in World War I. A historic and patriotic memorial that is now under attack. A group called the American Humanist Association has filed a lawsuit to have the Peace Cross Memorial removed. Those filing the suit say they are, quote, shocked and upset by the Cross Memorial and have asked a federal court to remove it. This is just the latest in a series of troubling tactics used to attack long-standing war memorials designed to honor America's heroes. The ACLJ is standing with this Maryland town, standing up to this flawed lawsuit, preparing an amicus brief to defend this cross memorial. You can stand with the ACLJ too by signing on to this critical brief. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. 499,656 is the number of people. That's the number of people that have signed and liked our Facebook. I should say liked our Facebook for the American Center for Law and Justice. I think I've got about 475,000 on my page. Here's the goal, folks. We want to get to as close to a million by the end of this month between both pages, 500 on each, as we can. And we encourage you to like our Facebook page and share it with your friends as well. It's a great way to stay updated. Also, we're growing Jordan's Twitter feed, so twitter.com/JordanSekulow. 37,804 of you have said, yes, I'm going to stand with you in stopping the angry atheist attack on the World War I Memorial. That is a great start. We want to get to 50,000. That's our goal from all 50 states. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We're going to go right to our phones. Got a lot of calls coming in. Who do we have?
Yeah, let's go to Terry calling in from Tennessee on line two. Terry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Just driving down the road on my way to run some errands, heard your radio program. I'm actually from PG County.
Okay.
To Tennessee in October.
Yep.
I happen to be an atheist.
Okay.
But I don't have a problem whatsoever with the Peace Cross Memorial.
So you lived there, you saw it, correct?
So
describe it to our audience, because we're going to have a video of it tomorrow, but describe what it is.
I don't know that I can describe it. Your folks get a better view of it when you show some video, but it's just in the middle of a circle, in the middle of the town.
Yeah.
It is in the shape of a cross. It's got the names on it. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, and so it's dedicated to the 49 members of your former county, Prince George's County, that lost their lives during World War I. So everybody recognizes it, Terry, from what we understand, as a war memorial. Yeah.
Thing that has, that's there because of what religion it represents or that type of thing. It's a memorial to those who lost their lives in war.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you listening, and we're trying to get the right perspective here. And I know there are a number of people that don't necessarily share our faith commitment that are still saying this is kind of absurd. However, this is a problem, and I focus this since you're from the D.C. metro area. Yeah, and you were probably already in Tennessee when this happened. We had the government shutdown last year, and Jordan, I'm bringing this up now for everybody to understand. They closed specifically the World War II Memorial, knowing that the, and understand this, the Department of Interior knew that two veterans groups were on their way there and closed it down anyways, even though they acknowledged in emails that it would be more work to close it than to just leave it open since it was open access to the community.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you've got a situation here where it seems like, you know, and I appreciate Terry's call. This war memorial, it's interesting. There's a cross, but yet there's no inscription about religion on it anywhere. You know, it's about the 49 members from the town and the community who died in World War One serving the country. It's got a quote from Woodrow Wilson. We're talking about historic here. The idea here that we start taking this down in America, we start, you know, shutting it down, is what happened in Washington.
Put up, by the way, in 1925.
Yeah, that's right. It's eradicating history and a positive history too. This is not some monument to something people have now said, well, this is wrong to commemorate. This is a World War One memorial. It's historic. It makes people ask questions about, hey, what is that? What is that for? So people talk. You learn the history. That's part of the idea of America. Is that's why we have the symbolism of the monuments in Washington, D.C., so you don't forget the history. And for visitors, people who may go through this town, yep, or go to a big city like Washington, you look around and you realize the symbolism, you realize the history, and why, where you are, where you're standing at that moment.
I'll tell you what we're going to do for tomorrow's broadcast. I want to have pulled a lot of the quotes from the memorials that have religious references of Jefferson, Lincoln, a lot of them do. Let's get those. We're going to read those on the air because I think it's more. By the way, the monument, as Jordan said, was put up there in 1925, dedicated to World War One veterans, those that actually lost their lives during World War One from Prince George's County. Inscribed on the monument is the phrase, valor, endurance, courage, and devotion. And there's a quote by Woodrow Wilson, the right is more precious than the peace. We shall fight for the things we have always carried nearest to our hearts, to such a task. Excuse me. We dedicate ourselves. So there you have it. And this monument's been there since 1925, and now it's causing a constitutional crisis. Folks, we want to make sure that you understand as well that we're fighting for this, and right now it's in court, federal court. So we're going to file a brief on behalf of the city to maintain that monument. And to do that, we want to have representation from all 50 states. So if you've not yet signed up, let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or call us at 1-877-989-2255. You can do it either way. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And I encourage you to make that call or go online and sign up for this brief. It's very important. We really did great. 37,000 signatures in a day. I'd like to see it at 50,000. I think we clearly can get there. Again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, a huge thank you to a lot of our ACLJ members yesterday. Came through in a very significant way. We're finishing up the first 10 days of our matching challenge. We've got 20 days to go on it, and so far we've had a great response. If you're inclined to make a gift to the ACLJ, of course, it's tax deductible. Go to ACLJ.org. When any amount you donate, we get a matching grant for ACLJ.org. Let's go right back to the phones, Jordan.
Yeah, Caroline in Maryland on line 3. Caroline, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Mr. Sekulow.
Please call me Jay, but go ahead.
I appreciate everything that you do.
Thanks.
And this issue with the Peace Cross, I've lived in Maryland my whole life. I'm pushing 50 years old. There has never been an issue with this memorial. It's a symbol. It's something that we should all be proud of. And it's people trying to, you know, take it down all of a sudden.
Well, here's what they say. They said that if they're riding their bicycles in the area, they're confronted and they have an encounter with the cross, and that to them is a violation of the law. That's according to the complaint they filed. They actually say that it's an unwelcome affiliation, that they do not wish to encounter the Blandensburg cross, the Peace Cross, so they're afraid of this encounter. I mean, I love the way the American atheist phrases, you know, an encounter with the cross, as if the cross is coming off of its foundation and approaching these people. They're so offended by a symbol that has multiple significance that they want it removed. They're the censors here. The American Humanist Association, the American Atheists, these groups that do this, they are the censors here.
Like I said, we would drive past it. When I was a little girl, we would go past it several times. I am a Christian now, but my family was Jewish. My family had no problem. My family had respect for what that represented.
Well, and what it represented was, of course, a World War One memorial to 49 specific individuals from your county there in Prince George's County, Maryland, that lost their lives during World War I. We appreciate your call, Caroline. Thanks for calling. All right, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, you're going to go out there tomorrow. Tell us what you're going to get. Or today, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to go out there this afternoon, so we'll get that up online. Just to show people what we're talking about on radio, to create, you know, we've talked about it so people can go to our website, see the imagery, just see where it is in comparison. I mean, we're leaving from our Washington, D.C. office after the broadcast today. It's about 15, 20 minutes, depending on traffic, maybe a little bit longer than that, but not only about 6 miles away from Capitol Hill. And again, the idea that this is going to become a constitutional crisis and that we would remove something that's been there since before all of us listening right now were born. And that we would remove this kind of history, this reminder of the sacrifice that Americans have made and generations have made that we can no longer speak to. So we're going to go there so people can see it online and see it for themselves. So yep. what this has now become, this crisis and a lawsuit.
All right, let's go to Bob from West Virginia. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, sure. And God bless you.
Thanks.
A real quick comment.
Yep.
I just wonder if any of these people that are getting sick by looking at the cross,
uh-huh.
if something happened to them and they needed a blood transfusion or blood, I wonder if they would accept it from the American Red Cross.
You know, I made this tongue-in-cheek yesterday, but we were playing the famous Eric Clapton song, Cream song called Crossroads, which isn't about the cross at all, but has cross in it. We played a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song that had Southern Cross in it, which, again, is not about actually about the cross. But these people are so afraid of an encounter with the cross, I think the name itself creates havoc for them. So I would put nothing by them, Bob, but the reality is it's ridiculous, but it's in federal court, and whenever it's in federal court, your American Center for Law and Justice, we take it seriously, and we're working on it. All right, folks, we'll be taking more of your calls when we come back from the break. If you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. We want you to sign on to this committee we formed that's going to file a brief in this case. We're already approaching 36,000. We think we can get to 50. Go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. You can sign it right there at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Also, very important here, we want to make sure you are engaged on this issue. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at 499,674 on the American Center for Law and Justice Twitter. Facebook. Let's get it to 500 by the end of the broadcast with re-airs tonight. We're going to get to 500,000. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to that petition, that committee. And if you want to make a donation, it's a matching grant. ACLJ.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. For nearly 90 years, a memorial has stood in Bladensburg, Maryland, to honor the 49 men from that area who gave their lives in World War I. A historic and patriotic memorial that is now under attack. A group called the American Humanist Association has filed a lawsuit to have the Peace Cross Memorial removed. Those filing the suit say they are, quote, shocked and upset by the Cross Memorial and have asked a federal court to remove it. This is just the latest in a series of troubling tactics used to attack long-standing war memorials designed to honor America's heroes. The ACLJ is standing with this Maryland town, standing up to this flawed lawsuit, preparing an amicus brief to defend this cross memorial. You can stand with the ACLJ too by signing on to this critical brief. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to head down to the Peace Cross right after the broadcast today, not too far from our offices here on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., in Bladensburg, Maryland, which, again, folks, it's about 6 miles from here. It's about 15, 20 minutes. And this cross, which has stood there since 1925, is now under attack. A lawsuit filed by American Humane Association, a group that has been somewhat successful in having crosses removed from the roadside. You may know about those unfortunate situations. If someone's had an accident, loss of life, where families put up a cross, a temporary memorial, they've had those crosses removed. I mean, that's what this group does. They drive around looking for constitutional crisis. They don't, by the way, come after the federal government here with the religious symbolism that's around Washington, D.C. No, they go after Bladensburg, Maryland, and a 1925 World War I memorial. We're going to take your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Paul calling in from New York on line 3. Paul, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello?
Hey, Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you today? Great work.
We're good.
Keep up the work. I'm sure they're mounting up against news as well. My point was is that if these people are atheists and they don't believe that there's a God or an afterlife or anything, I don't know what their thoughts are, but they really don't have any kind of image to threaten them. If they're not believers of God or the devil, then they shouldn't be threatened by any kind of image that's put up, because there's really no basis for their belief to be.
Well, and the idea here, a cross, you know, you could say, oh, it's the Christian symbol. But if you don't believe in anything, it still can be a symbol of sacrifice. I mean, it was used by executions, wrong executions by a repressive Roman government. And it was used in other situations not involving Jesus Christ or the Christian faith. And the idea, again, it's a symbol of sacrifice. That's why we use it in war memorials. If you don't believe, I don't understand the offense either, Paul. I mean, it's not, if you read the memorial, and we're going to go to it later today, show people what's on it, the plaques and everything, there's nothing there that says, you know, this is a memorial only for Christians. In fact, we don't even know that the 49 who it honors, who lost their life fighting in World War I, they may not have all been Christians, but it's a symbol of sacrifice. It's a symbol of those who have served, and especially look at the history. We're talking about 1925 here. Not something that would be considered inappropriate. Not something that was inappropriate 25 years ago, by the way. These lawsuits weren't being filed. These are all coming about in the last 5-6 years. And Than, you know, you live in Prince George's County. That's where this memorial stands. This is not something that's causing a lot of attention. It's not something people are talking about every day. This 1925 cross is big, 40 feet tall. But still, it's not something I didn't even know about it, being right here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people didn't. I mean, it's not something that ever caused a problem. And, you know, this is somewhat personal to me, Jordan, the fact that I live in Prince George's County. Here's the idea. These three humanists claim shock and offense by the fact that this memorial's there. But let me tell you what offends me. That's the idea that these folks would come to town, that they would have the gall to put their personal ideology in front of our county's effort to honor our heroes. We're talking about 49 of our neighbors who laid down their lives, paid the ultimate sacrifice, and these three humanists want to put their ideology in front of that. I just have to tell you, it's perverted, it's arrogant beyond measure, and quite frankly, Jordan, it's wrong. I'm glad that we're standing up for it at the ACLJ, but let me just tell you, the residents of Prince George's County, left, right, and center, we're not going to stand for it either.
Folks, so we're going to take your calls now, 1-800-684-3110. Jerry called in from Wisconsin, line 5. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm an atheist, and I've been a member of American Atheists, American Humanist Association, and I can tell you pretty much what the perspective is. Now, the person who objected to this probably lives in Prince George County, because when there's objections, it's usually from the people who live within the county. Now, I don't want the government, I know this is a veterans memorial, but basically what most atheists want is we don't want the government entangling in religion, promoting religion, even if that's the intent. That wasn't the intent to do so. How would you feel if instead of a cross, it was an Islamic crescent? Would that represent?
If it was there since 1925, Jerry, I think I'd have a pretty tough case to make that it's just now offending me. Where were all these? Where was the objection 25 years ago, 35 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago? At what point do you as an atheist have to say, you know what, the idea here was this was a symbol used during World War One memorials for in 1925. You read the brass text of it, you know, what's the markers on it. There's nothing about being a Christian. It's not about a religious faith. And the idea here that you want to make it religious, that you want to make it a symbol of Christianity, when the town and the people who put it up saw it as a symbol of the 49 people who died in World War One from that local community. And by the way, Jerry, so you know about your American Humane Association, the first client mentioned here is a resident of Washington, D.C. There is someone who lives near it. They don't even say if they live in the county, by the way, but lives near it, but who sees it a few times a year. But has been seeing it since 1982, and suddenly now that they're having the constitutional crisis, Jerry, that's my problem with it. I think you have a different case if you're talking about a town putting up a 40-foot cross right now, okay? But 1925, 90 years later, how possibly is this suddenly just become a constitutional violation? And why are you not going after all of the monuments here in Washington, D.C.? Is it because you're too afraid to sue the federal government and fight them in court?
Okay, it doesn't matter if it was from 1925. It was unconstitutional. It was unconstitutional. Just because it's been up for almost 90-plus years doesn't make...
That's actually not 100% true, Jerry. You know, history does have play in here. So when you look at the court cases, things are historic. Things have become important on their own. So they have themselves taken on a historic nature because of age, date, how long they've been there. That does have weight in court. So I have to cut you off right there to make that clear to people who are listening. The idea here, there's you could say that about some kinds of speech. You can't say that about everything. Because when it's been there and it's become historic, it takes on a different character.
Oh, God.
Did you say, oh, God? I think we caught Jerry saying, oh, God, on the air. Jerry, I'm gonna stop you right there. We're going to take two more phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Very frustrated, but it is true, folks. The idea here, I'm glad that we've heard from some atheists. Some have said this is not problematic at all. Others, like Jerry, trying to defend it. But you see, it's trying to, they have to make an excuse for every single point you throw back at them. And the idea here, folks, is that we're talking about a 1925 war memorial. 1925 war memorial. Let's go to Joel in Florida, because Joel, I asked this to Jerry. I always wonder this question. What about all the other symbolism in Washington, D.C.? Joel, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Hey, Joel, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having my call. I just wondered when we can just get to the end of it, and why don't we raise all of D.C. since it's full of Masonic architecture?
Yeah, I know. I mean, we have these huge Masonic symbols here. You know, it's part of our history. Our founding fathers, they designed the city. They put it there. Is it upsetting anyone? It doesn't seem like it's upsetting any atheists. No one's getting repulsed by it. No one feels like it's a constitutional violation. There's so many issues like this that if you wanted to do, if you read the Constitution that way, then you would be eradicating the symbolism and the heritage, this history. But the founding fathers who wrote that Constitution and the Bill of Rights also designed these, much of the city, designed a lot of these memorials. Folks, we wish we could take more of your phone calls. We're going to head out to that cross. Check out our website later, aclj.org. We'll put up our video there. And, folks, you can take a stand to protect this cross. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255.
This is just the latest in a series of troubling tactics used to attack long-standing war memorials designed to honor America's heroes. The ACLJ is standing with this Maryland town, standing up to this flawed lawsuit, preparing an amicus brief to defend this cross memorial. You can stand with the ACLJ too by signing on to this critical brief. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to switch gears a little bit here. Of course, we are keeping our attention in the courtroom in Maryland, of course, on that display, that World War I memorial. Jordan's going to have a video report that we have hope to have posted either later today or tomorrow on that. So keep engaged in that one, of course. But I also wanted to let you know we've got a trial coming up on a very important case, and we haven't talked about it a lot. It's involving academic freedom. David French, of course, you know, is our head of our digital advocacy group, but he's also one of our senior lawyers, which means he goes to court, like a lot of us do. David's got a case going to court just in a few days, and I want to set the stage for it, folks. It gives you a good sense of the kind of work that the ACLJ's engaged in, now even involving the college campus.
Yeah, we've got a real problem on our college campuses. We got a problem where just one aspect of it is if you are a conservative or you're a Christian and you're a professor, it is tough going on campus. There's very few Christian conservatives. And we got a case right here where a professor, he was hired when he was an atheist and a liberal.
Yep.
And several years ago, he had a conversion. He became Christian and conservative. And as soon as that happened, unbelievable things began happening to him.
You know, David, we often hear of these cases in the context of the student.
Right.
Where the conservative, we've had them on, the Christian student or the conservative students being harassed by a faculty member, being treated unfairly. We've done a lot of those cases. I know you've been doing those for decades. This is different because this is a professor. So you would think on the campus, academic freedom, a wide variety of viewpoints, it wouldn't be a problem. But evidently for the University of North Carolina, it is a problem.
Oh, it's a big problem. I mean, what happened as soon as he becomes a Christian and a conservative, he starts speaking about his views. His evaluation started to decline. He got falsely accused of a felony, believe it or not. He got placed under secret investigations.
What is a secret investigation by a university that's supposed to be open policy and transparency?
It's unbelievable. And they launched the investigation after he wrote columns that were criticizing the university. Forget this, okay? The university was spending $120,000 or more than $100,000 on gangster rappers to come to campus.
He complained.
He complained about that. The university was displaying exhibits that borderlined on pornography.
Which we've heard. We've heard this. We've had students that have complained about it.
Yeah, and he complained about that, which he has a right to do as a citizen. These are matters of a public concern. He was blowing the whistle on terrible practices by a public university, and the response from the university was unbelievable. Placed under secret investigation, denied a promotion.
Well, tell me what a secret, I mean, I want everybody to understand, what is a secret investigation at the University of North Carolina?
A secret investigation is when the chancellor of the whole university.
And the chancellor is like their president.
The president, so, yeah. Exactly. The chancellor, the president, the leader of the entire university sends an email to his boss saying, you need to be monitoring his classroom.
Did he know this was going on?
Did not know it was going on.
So we talked about the FCC monitors a couple of weeks ago. So here you had monitors from the school, from the university, being sent into his classroom, what, incognito, so to speak?
Well, they're trying to determine if he was passing on discriminatory views to his students. I mean, it's unbelievable how much they were trying to intrude upon his free speech. And then when he came up for promotion, this is what's amazing. And we got the emails and all the documents about this. They passed on false information about him. His boss censored out good information, passed on only the bad information. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And the reason why this happened is because he's conservative and because he's Christian. That's the only reason it happened, because before, when he was atheist and liberal, they loved him.
Yeah. So we're going to get into the next segment of the broadcast. We're going to get in a little bit more of the particulars here, what this means, what's going to happen in court in the next days ahead. And we're going to keep everybody posted. By the way, did we cross 500,000 on the American Center for Law and Justice? If not, we're right on the cusp of crossing 500,000 likes on Facebook for the American Center for Law and Justice. And I think my Facebook page is just a little bit behind. I think one's at close to 500, the other one around 465 or so. So we'll give you the exact numbers when we come back from the break. We want to get to 1 million in the next couple of days. So that's a big push here. So like us on Facebook. We encourage you to do that. Also, what a response we've had to this World War II Veterans Memorial case that's developed in Maryland. In 1 day, you heard me, 1 day, 35,000 signatures on this petition, almost 36,000. That's more signatures on this committee that'll be filing the brief than are members of the American Atheist Association. You can add your name as well at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more on this case in just a moment.
For nearly 90 years, a memorial has stood in Blandinsburg, Maryland, to honor the 49 men from that area who gave their lives in World War I. A historic and patriotic memorial that is now under attack. A group called the American Humanist Association has filed a lawsuit to have the Peace Cross Memorial removed. Those filing the suit say they are, quote, shocked and upset by the Cross Memorial, and have asked a federal court to remove it. This is just the latest in a series of troubling tactics used to attack long-standing war memorials designed to honor America's heroes. The ACLJ is standing with this Maryland town, standing up to this flawed lawsuit, preparing an amicus brief to defend this Cross Memorial. You can stand with the ACLJ too by signing on to this critical brief. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. David French is joining me in our studio. Of course, you know David heads up our digital advocacy for the ACLJ around the globe, but also as a senior attorney at the ACLJ. That means, like all of us that are involved in litigation, David goes to court. And we've got one going to court next week. Again, I want to kind of set the stage for you on this. We've got a situation where, interestingly, we're representing a university professor. This is different than the typical case where we have the student. This is a professor. Now, David, let's kind of set the stage here. So this professor was denied a promotion simply because of his conservative viewpoints. He was putting it out in magazines like Town Hall and some of the other big websites, and that he's a Christian, and they put him under a secret, undisclosed investigation to monitor his classroom. When did he find out about it?
He didn't actually find out about the secret investigation until after we filed the case and we got
something?
The email. So, you know, he didn't even realize when by the time we filed the case how hostile they were to him. I mean, he got this is so bizarre. It's almost difficult to believe. But one of the professors hated his viewpoint so much that she falsely accused him of tear gassing her office,
which was, of course, not true.
Completely untrue, completely made up. And then the university let her vote on his application for full professor. So you have a person who falsely accuses him of a felony and then is allowed to go ahead and vote on his application.
Yeah. I mean, folks, this is the reality in the world we live in, but that's why we're in court. Now, you're in federal court.
Yes.
You've got a trial that's going to go on. What do you anticipate happening in the trial?
Well,
it's a jury trial, too.
It's a jury trial. We're going to have a jury sworn in on Monday. We're going to present our opening arguments, and it'll go about 3 days. It's going to be in the hands of the jury, so we'll see what they have to say. You know, one of the other things that's really remarkable about this is a professor. He won Teacher of the Year awards multiple years, won service awards multiple years. He wrote scholarship so well respected that it was used by the Surgeon General of the United States of America in a report. And they said he didn't meet the standards for promotion. Why was that? Because he was Christian and conservative. They said he was a bad teacher, but you know what? They never actually watched him teach.
So they never saw him teach. They accused him of being a bad teacher, even though he won Teacher of the Year. He's published articles, peer-reviewed journals, and now you're in federal court. Now, folks, what this means is this lawsuit was filed. They filed, the University of North Carolina filed an answer, and now we're actually litigating the case in front of a jury. We had a jury trial a couple weeks ago, you'll remember, involving one of the groups that were reaching out to those on drug dependency, Teen Challenge. We went to a jury on that one, and we also obtained a victory. So this is in court, in a battle that is significant. I'm going to ask you to pray for David and the team that's going to be going down to North Carolina. But let's talk about what's at stake. By the way, I just got updated numbers. Now, folks, ACLJ, as of just moments ago, 499,578. Help us get to 500,000. And my Facebook page is 475,000. So I am about 24,000 or so behind the ACLJ. We want to get those both to 500,000. David, what's realistic about that? Probably ACLJ this, maybe even today. Mine probably by the end of the week, if we keep the momentum going.
Exactly. I think we'll hit ACLJ this week. I mean, today. And with you, I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't this week.
That would be a million on Facebook. And that means, let me tell you, you know us at the ACLJ. You know how we work. That's goal one. Goal two, of course, is let's get to 2 million, and that's going to be the big push for the rest of this year. So you're going to be in court. You've got witnesses that are going to testify. North Carolina University's really fought you on this.
Oh, they fought very hard. I mean, they absolutely have been, from the beginning, they have been committed to diminishing Mike's voice. I mean, to minimizing him, to attacking him.
They threatened to fire him or just not give him a promotion?
Well, he has tenure,
so they can't.
They can't. But they've had trustees of the system that have attacked him. The chancellor's attacked him. His department chair denied his promotion. I mean, you just go down the line. And here's why this is really important. I mean, we've got millions of parents around the country sending their kids to college.
Yep.
And if this is the atmosphere that's being created for Christian professors, for conservative professors, think about what your kids are going to face. You know, this is just one professor. Yeah. And when he became a Christian, he suddenly had very few friends on campus and a whole lot of enemies simply because he believed differently from them.
You know, we often, and we said this earlier, we have cases, a lot of cases involving students that are discriminated against at the college level or facing hostility from the administration. It's a more unusual case to have a member of the faculty. It's not our only one, by the way. We've got one in California as well. So this is something the ACLJ is fully engaged in. If I was to ask you, David, what's at stake here? What would you say? What is at stake at bottom?
At its base, what's at stake is the integrity of our educational system. And also the integrity of our government, of government work. Of is a government job going to be a partisan job against conservatives or Christians, or is it going to be neutral and non-biased the way it's supposed to be? I mean, think about what we've seen in the IRS case. We've seen how the federal government bureaucracy has been turned into an instrument of the Obama campaign. And then here, what do you see in North Carolina? You see how the whole engine of the University of North Carolina system is being turned into an instrument of censorship against a Christian or conservative. That's not what our public institutions are supposed to do.
So when you look at the situation as you've got it right now, you're on the cusp of a jury trial starting next week. And folks, again, be in prayer on this. It's a very important case. You can imagine what's at stake here. We've been telling you that it could affect really every student because it could send a signal through the rest of the country that conservative faculty are not going to be intimidated into silence. But the attack on conservative and Christian faculty has been very well pronounced in these institutions, especially the state institutions. When you look at what's at stake, you talked about that, but let's also talk about the legal challenge that we're going to have. They're going to come back aggressive here,
right?
The University of North Carolina. They're going to throw everything they can. But how do they get around the fact that he was voted Teacher of the Year several times?
Several times. How do they get around the fact that his peer-reviewed work has been nationally recognized? How do they get around the fact that he was the highest-rated teacher in classrooms in his department by the students, the ones who actually saw him teach?
Have there been any student complaints of significance?
None. I mean,
and that's unusual because you usually have student complaints when you're teaching.
He's an incredibly well-loved teacher. He's won service awards saying that he's served the community better than any other faculty member. So how are they going to get around it? They're going to get around it by trying to say that all of that, that's just a smokescreen. He's really a bad teacher. He's really a bad professor. He doesn't do peer-reviewed work. They're going to try to just denigrate his professional record. But the record stands for itself. Guess what? No one with an equivalent record in the entire history of his department was ever denied promotion.
Listen, folks, here's what David said. So if you go back through the history of the University of North Carolina and their promotion review process, no one with the qualifications of our client, let me say it again, no one with the qualifications of our client in the history of the UNC has ever been denied the promotion, except this case. And have they come out and said it's because of his views, or are they coming up with 14 other reasons?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard for them to say.
That'd be pretty difficult for them to say.
Here's what they said about his views. They said that his service, which is the category that public speeches and all of that fits in this system, was hurtful. Okay. I'm sorry, you don't get to declare someone's free speech hurtful and use it against them.
You know, it's interesting because he's also a resident of that community, so he has the right to speak out. And here's the other thing. You have faculty at major institutions attacking those institutions viciously sometimes, and nobody says anything. But you're a conservative and you speak out, or you're a Christian and you speak out, and it's as if you've messed with the hornet's nest.
Right, absolutely. I mean, don't we want professors who notice that a university is spending $100,000 plus on gangster rappers to say, hey, that's not a good use of public funds? Don't we want professors who are free to say, you know, I don't think we should have borderline pornographic displays on campus. I don't think that that's a proper use of university resources. These are common sense things that he was saying. This is hardly radical stuff, and yet it had a radical effect of them attacking him personally, secret investigations, denying him promotion, which, by the way, has cost him a lot of money.
I'm sure. How many years has this been going on? How long have you been teaching?
This has been going on. The persecution has been going on since the early 2000s, and he was denied his promotion in 2006.
How long has he been a teacher, a professor at the University of North Carolina?
Well, he was a professor for about 7 or 8 years before he became a Christian, and then he's been there, now about 12 or 13 years since he has been a Christian.
20-year history with this college, this university, and the man is facing this kind of unbelievable acts of discrimination. So here's what we're doing. David and team are going to be in court next week fighting this out, fighting the good fight in front of a jury, which is always jury trials are jury trials. You never know how it's exactly going to go. But be in prayer for David and the team as they're preparing the rest of this week, and we'll be giving some reports maybe even during the week from the trial. So we'll have that on radio for you next week. As I mentioned, what a response. Stop the angry atheist attack on the World War II Memorial Cross. 36,000 signatures. 36,000 in less than 24 hours. So this is incredible, folks. We can now push towards 50,000 on this. Go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org to sign on to a committee that's going to file a brief in this case, protecting this World War I Memorial Cross in Maryland. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. 2255. Also, and this is important, folks, we're in a matching challenge campaign, and we're 10 days into it here. We're doing well. We want to continue momentum. That means that any amount that's donated to the ACLJ, in any amount, it's tax deductible, but we get a matching grant for it. And we've got a big goal. What's the goal for this month, David?
The goal is $800,000 for this month.
All right, folks, that's just online. So, we want to break $800,000. So, to get there, I need your help. Go to ACLJ.org. Make that online gift at ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
For nearly 90 years, a memorial has stood in Blandinsburg, Maryland, to honor the 49 men from that area who gave their lives in World War I. A historic and patriotic memorial that is now under attack. A group called the American Humanist Association has filed a lawsuit to have the Peace Cross Memorial removed. Those filing the suit say they are, quote, shocked and upset by the Cross Memorial, and have asked a federal court to remove it. This is just the latest in a series of troubling tactics used to attack long-standing war memorials designed to honor America's heroes. The ACLJ is standing with this Maryland town, standing up to this flawed lawsuit, preparing an amicus brief to defend this Cross Memorial. You can stand with the ACLJ too by signing on to this critical brief. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law.
That's regent.edu/law.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Today we are talking about this this war memorial in Bladensburg, Maryland. Folks, this is in the county where I live, Prince George's County, Maryland. The cross that represents 49 men from that area who gave their lives in World War I. Three members of the American Humanist Association have filed a lawsuit to bring that down. And folks, this is the kind of lawsuit that ACLJ has worked on for decades now. There have been a number of cases. In fact, even just now, as we speak, we are working in two other cases, one involving a cross in San Diego, California, the Mount Soledad Cross, as well as a statue of Jesus in Montana on the side of a mountain, both of which have been a lawsuit has been filed against them on behalf of either the Freedom From Religion Foundation or, in this case, the American Humanist Association. But, folks, these cases are very similar, and this is the kind of challenge that the ACLJ has been fighting against for decades now. I wanted to play for you in this segment of the broadcast part of a special piece that we put together. It's called Ringside. This is Jay taking a look back at the ACLJ's work over the decades, talking about some of the various cases like this that we have worked on and how we got to where we are today, where we can take on a challenge like this at a moment's notice. So I want to play for you a few minutes from this piece that we put together. It's called Ringside.
The very first case I argued at the Supreme Court of the United States actually was the very first appeal I ever argued. I never argued an appeal before. I was a trial lawyer. When I got out of law school, I worked with Chief Counsel's Office of the Department of the Treasury. The Internal Revenue Service was our client. And I was a trial lawyer. And at the time I left the IRS and went into private practice, I ended up on the board of directors of Jews for Jesus. And they had a case that was just kind of meandering through the lower courts, and it was distributing gospel tracts at an airport, which today would be very difficult after 9/11. But at the time, those airports were wide open. I mean, we didn't have the metal detectors, you didn't have the kind of security you have now. And the issue was the city of Los Angeles had passed this ban, which said no First Amendment activities inside an airport, which when you think about it, is ridiculous. I mean, you say hello, that's a First Amendment activity. But what was interesting in two contexts was how I ended up with the case. We were at a board meeting, and the board of directors was having a discussion, and Moish Rosen, who recently passed away, was the executive director of Jews for Jesus. He said they looked at the budget, and they had no money. So they said, well, Jay's a lawyer, he can argue it. I was a tax lawyer. But the biggest problem was, and you'll see this when we look at the case, was not only was it my first time at the Supreme Court of the United States, religion cases had done terrible at the Supreme Court of the United States, primarily because of the way they were presented. I think it was just kind of the free exercise clause, which is one of the, you know, First Amendment issues, a free exercise clause. It hadn't done very well at the Supreme Court. So I argue this as a speech case. But my favorite part of the case was a question that came from Chief Justice Rehnquist to Jim Capel. I still remember the lawyer that argued the case for the city of Los Angeles. He never argued a case at the Supreme Court of the United States either, so it was both of us were first time. And he asked, the lawyer asked the question of the court kind of as a statement. You know, he said, what is an airport authority supposed to do? And Chief Justice of the United States, William Rehnquist, who was not one that was prone to humor, said, well, one thing you could do is get someone that knows how to write a statute that would comply with the First Amendment. I thought that was pretty good for my side. Sometimes the less you say is more. But the case was fascinating, mostly, I think most significantly, because it was a religion case, and we ended up winning the case unanimously before the Supreme Court of the United States. One of the periodicals called my oral argument rude, aggressive, and obnoxious. And I think the rude and aggressive part was right. I don't think the obnoxious was correct, but I think that was rude and aggressive and obnoxious in their eyes because they envisioned, you know, if Floyd Abrams, who was this noted First Amendment lawyer, would have made the same argument I made, they would have said, great oral argument, aggressive. But, you know, they expect Christian lawyer in the 1980s, you're just going to be kind of, you know, meek and mild, manageable. And, you know, I was born in Brooklyn and I'm not meek nor mild nor very manageable, but this is the very first case. I was at a board meeting at Jews for Jesus. I was on the board at the time, and the executive director said, we've got a case. The Supreme Court had just granted review. It was about literature distribution at airports, evangelism at airports. The Ninth Circuit had allowed the evangelism to take place, but the Supreme Court had accepted the case for review, and the thought was that they were going to reverse and not allow evangelism to take place.
The case is called Board of Airport Commissioners of Los Angeles versus Jews for Jesus. That case has affected every airport in the United States, opening them to personal evangelism and literature distribution.
I looked at all the cases involving religious distribution of literature and what's called the Free Exercise Clause of the Constitution and how it applied to religious evangelism. And basically, our side lost every single time. So maybe it was just me being naive in this sense. I said, you know, that area of law is not worked out very well, this whole free exercise issue. Let's approach this a different way. If this was a union organizer wanting to distribute literature at the airport for union organization, would the Supreme Court of the United States say, no, you can't do that? Of course not. Of course they would allow it. Well, then why would it be different if it was religious speech? And then I came up with this idea of let's argue these cases as speech cases, not simply a free exercise case. So when I went to the Supreme Court of the United States, my entire pitch in that case was this case is about freedom of speech. And I barely mentioned religion in the entire oral argument. Here we argued no matter what the category that you're engaged in here, no matter how you view the area, the fact of the matter is you can't have a resolution that says in a public place you can't engage in free speech activities. After all, me talking to you right now is a free speech activity. Saying hello at the airport is a free speech activity. You can't let the government dictate the contents of speech when it's protected speech as religious speech is. So we argued that it was both protected speech, that religious speech should be treated no differently than any other form of speech, and secondly, that you've got to allow robust debate in the marketplace of ideas. Nine justices of the Supreme Court, the most conservative and the most liberal, agreed that that resolution for the city of Los Angeles, which said no First Amendment activities at the Los Angeles International Airport, all nine justices agreed that, in fact, that was unconstitutional. So it was a huge win for religious free speech, probably the most significant win that we'd seen in 50 years.
In 1987, the United States Supreme Court issued a unanimous opinion that opened the door for evangelism and distribution of literature in the nation's airports.
Because of that decision in Jews for Jesus, we opened up areas of evangelism literally from coast to coast. I mean, we marched around the country defending evangelism in Chicago, in Boston, in New York, Atlanta, Texas, Southern California, Northern California, and points in between. And we won all of those cases because of a unanimous decision in Jews for Jesus. I'll never forget Moish Rosen, the head of Jews for Jesus. As we walked out the Supreme Court, we went to the back to get into the cars. He said, I think you're going to be back here often. And I said, Moish, you don't get back here often. Most lawyers never. I mean, not 1% of the lawyers in America, not 0.1% of the lawyers in America ever argue one case before the Supreme Court of the United States, let alone many. And I've had cases now in the 1980s, the 1990s, and through 2010 at the Supreme Court of the United States. And every time I go, it doesn't change. I think the expectations of the justices are higher because you've been there a lot. But the excitement and enthusiasm and sheer awe of the moment has not changed one bit for me.
Again, folks, that was a segment from a special piece that we put together called Ringside. As we close the broadcast today, folks, we need you to stand with us. This latest challenge in Prince George's County, Maryland, against a cross that memorializes the lives of 49 veterans who lost their lives in World War I, folks, these three humanists should not be allowed for that memorial that stood for 90 years to come down. If you want to stand with us, call now 877-989-2255. Or go to ACLJ.org and sign online. But as we close the broadcast, you go to your phones, 877-989-2255.
This is just the latest in a series of troubling tactics used to attack long-standing war memorials designed to honor America's heroes. The ACLJ is standing with this Maryland town, standing up to this flawed lawsuit, preparing an amicus brief to defend this cross memorial. You can stand with the ACLJ too by signing on to this critical brief. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.